12. Caro tried again to phone Ellen. Still no response. Unusual, this time of day. Had Ellen rushed Angelica to the emergency room? That happened regularly, and Caro could think of no other reason that Ellen would be away from home. She rarely shopped. Since babysitters were so expensive, Ellen had groceries delivered, an expense for which Caro had scraped together money each month, usually by juggling minimum payments on too many credit cards. Camilla had given her lime juice to keep reapplying, and Lyle Luskin had supplied both steroids and sleeping pills. Caro, who knew she had a strong reaction to most drugs, nonetheless took a quarter of a pill and, despite so much sleep last night, fell into a long, fitful doze. She woke to a room in twilight gloom. Her itching had resumed. She winced at her reflection in the mirror. The flesh around one eye was swollen and red, although the eye itself seemed all right. Caro was applying more juice to everything that itched, straining to reach her own back, when someone knocked on the door. She cracked it open an inch. Julian. Go away, Caro said. I look like a leper who's been in a bad fight. You look fine, said Julian, who couldn't see her. I've brought you some files to read. She opened the door 2 more inches. He held a thick stack of folders, blue and red and green and yellow and purple, an explosion in a child's crayon box. If those are all physics, I don't want them. They're in your own field. Mostly, anyway. And I also brought you another medication for your itching. Caro let him in. Julian scrutinized her. Not too bad. When I got entangled with a maiden plum, I had it much worse. You're lying, Caro said. Yes, I am. But not about the files. The blue one is George's theory. In more detail than anyone but a mathematician/physicist would care about, although I gather he prepared a sort of executive summary for you to read first. The red one has all the charting and operation notes from my implant surgery, also in exhausting detail. The green file is my imaging, and you'll be interested at least in the mapping possibilities. The yellow folder has the physical and psychological pre-op workup on patient 2. My sister, Lorraine. The purple one has signed informed consent forms, NDAs, and all the other legal papers protecting all experimenters, including you, from any lawsuits, by anybody, anywhere, at any time. In fact, you're probably protected against all future parking tickets. Both George and I are on high alert to answer any and all questions. Although I doubt that will happen until you don't look like a pirate who misplaced her eye patch. Can you see all right? Mostly. But where's the new medication? Neither Camilla nor Dr. Luskin said they were sending me anything more. It's not theirs. It's mine. Julian laid the files on her desk and drew a silver and calfskin flask from his pocket. Ardbeg, single malt, age 23 years. As you undoubtedly know, scotch is a nerve depressant.
I can't take any alcohol now.
Puritan. All right, I'll save the Ardbeg for later. Let me offer something else. An apology. I was intrusive and insensitive this morning. I should not have mentioned your brother. Please forgive me.
Caro nodded, uncertain what to say. Had she overreacted? Ethan's death was, of course, a matter of public record. The horrific family aftermath was not. But Julian had not mentioned that, and he couldn't know about any of it. Could he? She said, "Maybe another time for the scotch. Right now I think I'll look at some of those folders."
Good idea. You don't want dinner? I can have James bring you a tray.
Thank you. As soon as he left, Caro picked up the phone to try Ellen yet again, but the cell rang first.
Ellen, I've been trying all day to... What? Ellen? I can't understand you when you're crying. Calm down. Is it Angelica?
No. Kayla.
Kayla? Ice slid down Caro's spine.
What happened to Kayla?
They took her away.
Who? As Ellen's voice scaled up, Caro's grew calmer, a calm created by sheer will. Who took Kayla?
Child Protective Services. They took her away from me. She's gone.
Tell me. Start from the beginning. Ellen made a small, strangled sound, struggling for coherence. Caro clutched the cell so tight that the blood left her fingers. Ellen said,
Kayla apparently broke down at school. We had a really bad morning because Angelica, you know how Angelica can get.
Caro knew. Go on.
Kayla kept saying she'd be late for school, and Angelica was having a seizure and then vomiting, and finally, I screamed at Kayla. Then her teacher asked her what was wrong, and apparently Kayla just sobbed and sobbed and said home was horrible, smelling of shit, and her mother hadn't given her breakfast, and there was vomit on her backpack, and the next thing I know, CPS is at my door. There's a hearing in 2 days, and meanwhile, Kayla is in some sort of foster care for her own protection. As if I would ever... I've been trying all day to get help from my caseworker, or legal aid, or anybody, but they say they're swamped and... Oh, Caro, I try to be a good mother. I just can't do everything all at once.
You're a great mother. Listen, Ellen, I'm going to take care of this. Just sit tight until I call you back.
What can you do? I shouldn't even dump this on you. You've got enough trouble. That online shitstorm about Dr. Becker still hasn't gone away, and...
Just sit tight, Ellen. Is Angelica asleep?
Yes.
I'm going to call you back, but it may be tomorrow morning instead of tonight, okay? Just don't do anything until you hear from me again. We can fix this.
Okay,
Ellen said. Try to get some sleep while Angelica sleeps, Caro said, knowing how futile that was. Wait for my call. Her fingers trembled as she pressed the icon to end the conversation. Kayla, taken to a foster home somewhere, away from her mother and her familiar bedroom and her school. Was she scared? Of course she was. Caro understood that CPS provided a valuable service for kids who were abused or neglected, but Kayla was neither. Ellen would give her life for either of her daughters. In some ways, she already had. Caro, too, would do anything for Kayla. Caro never expected to bear a child of her own. She was too dedicated to neurosurgery, too wary of romantic relationships, too much in debt, rapidly becoming too old. But she shared Kayla with Ellen, especially since so much of Ellen's energy had of necessity to go to Angelica. Kayla. With her giggles and quicksilver feelings and spontaneous hugs. Caro opened her door. The swift tropical sunset had ended, and the courtyard, full of velvety Caribbean night, lit by a half moon, was deserted. The only person she knew how to find was James, so she went back inside and pressed his call button. James, I'm sorry to bother you, but I need to talk to Dr. Weigert. Now, right away.
Of course. You should have been given a list of cell numbers already. I'll text it to you after I call Dr. Weigert.
Caro breathed deeply, thinking hard. A white moth fluttered past the dim light beside her open door. Unseen flowers filled the air with sweetness. Something small skittered over her foot, and she jumped back. A lizard, darting into her room. Diagonally across the courtyard, another door opened. And Weigert emerged from the gloom, his tall, stooped figure hurrying across the grass.
Caroline?
Something happened. I need your help.
Of course. What is it?
It's not actually help, not a favor. It's a business deal. He peered at her face and said gently,
Shall we go inside?
There's a lizard in my room.
Weigert went through the door and emerged a moment later, carrying the lizard. He released it into the darkness.
These little green ones are harmless, but I quite understand. After your encounter with the Maiden Plum, why you might be suspicious of the local fauna as well. Now, let's go inside and you can tell me what's troubling you.
She'd had time to order her thoughts. You, my uncle and you and Julian, the research corporation, have advanced me a small amount on my salary. I want to know if the corporation is willing to advance me more. Actually, a lot more. He said quietly.
You suddenly need much more money?
Yes, for my sister. She needs a lawyer.
You don't need to tell me everything, Caroline. A quick summary will do.
But she did tell him everything. About Angelica, and Kayla, and Ellen's bravery, and warmth, and Kayla's teacher and child protective services. While Waggert stood gazing out the open door at the courtyard, and Carol wondered throughout her entire recitation why she had turned to him and not to Julian or Watkins. There had been no calculation, only blind, desperate instinct. She finished with, I want it understood that if I don't stay to do surgery at the compound, the money will be a loan, that I'll repay to the corporation at 5% interest according to a schedule will work out.
Not necessary,
Weigert said.
I will make you the loan personally.
You? But...
Taking it from the corporation implies that you are staying here because you're beholden to us. In fact, Julian would probably make that a condition of any loan. But I want you to become part of this project of your own volition. Not because you are already convinced of my theory, but because you are willing to approach its possibilities with an open mind. I am quite positive that if you do that, you will come to understand and embrace what we are doing here. But, Caroline, even if you leave tomorrow, I will make you the loan. You and your sister have had an undeservedly rotten time, and I've seen enough of you to believe that you'll repay me when you can, however long that might take.
Caro had no words. Weigert said,
I can do a bank transfer from my personal account to yours. Neither Julian nor Sam need know anything about it.
Just find a solicitor and tell me how much it will cost, and you and I can draw up and sign a simple statement of our arrangements.
Caro moved toward him. Weigert shifted slightly away, and she stopped.
This was not a man who would welcome gushy gratitude. She said quietly,
Thank you, Dr. Weigert. I appreciate it more than I can say.
You're welcome, Caroline.
He left, closing the door behind him, against the miniature dragons lurking in the darkness.